Hello and welcome back to the Skullcast, where we are two brothers who enjoy talking about football. We have a strong bias towards Vikings-related football, but we also enjoy looking around the league and evaluating how other teams went, and you could say whether or not we wish we were a part of another fan base or whether we like it where we're at. My name is Asher Whitmer, and this is my brother Christopher. Christopher, where do you want to start as we look around the league? Is there another fan base that you would rather be a part of than... What was that McCarthy said in week one? Where would you rather be?
Is there anywhere else you'd rather be? No.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it was.
I want to gloat on the Packers losing to the Browns. I think last week I said something about the Browns being the worst team in the league. And I don't know.
Do you remember what I said to you?
What did you say? Did you say something
about the Browns? I believe we got that recorded.
Could be.
Yeah, I said watch the Browns beat the Packers. That was very unpremeditated, just on the fact that one of my skepticisms of the Packers was that I didn't think they had played a real defense, like a top, maybe even top 10, but definitely top 5 defense. And that's what the Browns have. And so that like popped into my mind. And right as we were kind of ending that episode or that pick, I forget when it was, I just mentioned watch the Browns beat the Packers. So I like to think that I called it.
Yeah. Excuse me. I think it shows me that the Packers are who I thought they were at the beginning, with maybe a slightly improved defense. And I think this is a year of defense. Like I think so far, at least, defenses have been dominating. You know, offenses
unless
might figure them out.
The Ravens.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're also 1-2, so.
Well, I'm saying even the teams they've played.
Oh, because they've put up a lot of points.
Like they've been a part of high scoring games.
Yeah. I do think that they have a good defense, but Jordan Love still has that variable about him that I might just do something stupid. That I think,
and that's what we were saying.
Yeah.
Finish. Go for it. Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, I don't think, unless he changes midseason, I don't think he can lead them to a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like when the Parsons trade went down, we did not do any recording. We had pre-recorded several weeks out. But that's what our back and forth was like, honestly, this doesn't really scare us as a team, as fans of a team that's in the NFC, because the lack of an aggressive pass rusher was not the biggest issue the Packers faced last year. 100% Parsons makes them better. Parsons makes their defense better, and he's proven that. But he's also proven that he can be quieted for a game, and Jordan Love can do enough to thwart it on his own. And that's the bigger issue with the Packers, is which Jordan Love are you going to get? And in all fairness, you could say that of every team, right? Like, which Jared Goff are you going to get? Are you going to get the week one?
Right.
Are you going to get the week two? Which McCarthy are you going to get? Are you going to get the third quarter of week one, or are you going to get the other 7 quarters? But
yeah,
which Caleb Williams are you going to? That's fair enough. But I think Love's swings, let me word it this way. When you look at a team like the Lions, I'll keep it off the Vikings for now. When you look at a team like the Lions, they have a cohesion and an experience that things don't entirely rise and fall on Goff as much as they do on Love, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I also just really dislike the Packers. And I really dislike that they...
Oh, is that really what's happening? We just want to bash on the Packers.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's what's going on.
Yeah.
Keep going. Keep talking.
Well, and I think pride cometh before the fall. That was one of their guys was like, I think we can go 17-0. go undefeated.
Yeah. And I mean, in all fairness, they silenced the Lions in week one. They did a good job of that. I think if we're done bashing the Packers, can I move on to another game?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I think the Lions have a chip on their shoulder that you better watch out for.
Yeah.
They are still themselves offensively that they were. Yeah. Last year, they didn't get beat like they did by the Packers. But even if you look at 2 years ago when they went 12-5, won the division for the first time in a long time or ever, I forget. They had some blowout losses that year as well, with other games where they blew other teams out. So I do think as I was watching the Lions versus Ravens, they dominated the line of scrimmage, and they played with a fierceness that made me go, I'm not sure the Lions aren't going to be the team from the NFC North. I think a team from the NFC North is going to be in the Final Four. And it might be the Lions. Like, they have a grit and a chip on their shoulder. It's kind of, you know, getting the number one seed, being bounced immediately in the playoffs. And we all assumed things were going to be bad with them changing out coordinators. And I'm not so sure if Campbell shouldn't win the coach of the year if indeed he ends up, you know, if they win the division. And if they go on into the playoffs, obviously I think those awards are chosen before playoff results. But
yeah,
having that much transition, I think they said he lost six or eight coaches.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Over the offseason. And to bring them back and still have that same physically dominating sort of presence on the football field.
Can we just talk about
during the broadcast?
No, go for it.
Oh, I was just going to say, during the broadcast, they brought out how Dan Campbell, when he first came into the league as a head coach, he wanted to develop what Baltimore had in the physicality and aggression and everything. Well, in that game Monday night, it looked like there was one team that was physical. That was aggressive, yeah. And that was Dan Campbell's team.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting storyline for sure. Like I think, I really dislike Ben Johnson. I like Dan Campbell. I may be judging Johnson too harshly. I just really dislike the vibrato. And
we don't like cockiness.
Yeah.
We're probably being cocky ourselves.
But the thing is, like, the Lions have been cocky and have had vibrato and whatever, but it's from this position. Oh, hi, Joe.
They follow through.
Well, they follow through, but it's also with this sort of self-awareness that people think we're trash. Like, people think...
Yeah, that's true.
Like that moment... Hey, Joanna. She just woke up from her nap and came and found me, I guess.
There you go.
I'm talking about Uncle Ash.
Schoolcast time.
Hi. She's fine. I'll leave the door open. I don't know if you remember that moment when Jared Goff, I think it was their first season together, and it was probably the first season where they really started winning in the locker room, and he's giving out game balls, and he told Jared Goff, like, you're good enough for us, because he had just been traded from Los Angeles. Yeah. And like that, I mean, it annoyed me because it's the Lions, and it annoys me that the Lions have been better than the Vikings after being terrible for so long. but if I was a fan or if I was a player, if I was in that room, I would have gotten chills. Like, that's an incredible moment.
100%.
And it fits with their narrative, their story of, like, people think we're trash. We've been the laughingstock of the NFL for decades. And like, we're gonna, you know, his famous, like, we're gonna bite him in the kneecaps, like that. There's something different, I think, about kind of saying something kind of dumb, like, we're gonna bite him in the kneecaps, and then we're gonna, you know, and then going out and proving it versus the sort of Bears, like, we're gonna take back the North and we're never gonna give it back. Like, there's one is vibrato and one is like scrappy. Like, we're not gonna stop fighting. We're just gonna keep fighting. Even like, bite him in the kneecaps kind of hints at, like, I've been knocked down, but I'm just gonna keep fighting, you know.
Well, what's so different about the two is one is speaking of a cultural change, the other is speaking of a specific result. So, like, Dan Campbell came in, and even even when they've lost, they have established that culture as being one of the grittiest, most physical teams. If you're going to get past them, it's going to be war of sorts on the football field. Whereas just like, we're going to take back the North, or I'm going to have fun beating LaFleur twice a year or whatever. Like, those are results based, and you just can't control that. You can't even establish that within your clubhouse. And so, yeah, I think that's even, I think Dan Campbell and Kevin O'Connell both prove that they are really, really good at changing organizational culture and establishing top tier organizations. Campbell's not as eloquent as O'Connell,
right?
But it could be argued that Campbell's actually produced more results than O'Connell at this point. But yeah. And, the whole Lions story arc, like, if I was not a Vikings fan, I would very much be a Lions fan. Just, yeah, what's happening with them. Yeah.
And I think the difference is even less the cockiness, although, you know, maybe this is what we're getting at, is just the authenticity. Like, I think O'Connell and Campbell are both just authentically themselves, like who they are, which sounds super cheesy or cliche maybe, but like, and I think there's still a chance that Johnson, you know, finds himself, kind of figures out, all right, I, you know, because I think of Campbell, I think of Sirianni, and I think of Johnson, all had kind of weird introductions. Sam Cohen also had like that weird thing where he said Duval, you know. just
and everybody,
it's
like,
not
what is
uncommon
that?
for these new coaches to have weird introductory press conferences and whatnot, and you know, eventually they maybe figure it out. Sirianni's still a little bit of a nutcase, but again, just in the same sort of way that Campbell's perfect for Detroit, Sirianni, I think, is perfect for, he's a perfect yin to Hertz's yang. Anyways, this isn't what we're here to talk about, but we're talking about Lions and Campbell. The thing I think that I come away with, and obviously, you know, there's still most of the season ahead of us, but is that like, everyone's like, Johnson's this whiz kid up in Detroit, and you know, and maybe Campbell is the whiz. Like, maybe people say they're still using Johnson's offense. Well, maybe it's Campbell's offense, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that flip pass that they had on the goal line, I sure hope the Vikings pick that up. And because that's almost an unstoppable play, because if you're expecting it, it's going to leave St. Brown wide open to just run in. He's the closest one to the end zone. But you don't want to abandon him because he could just run into the end zone. So it's really hard to determine what's happening. So he, for those that weren't there, off snaps the ball, hands it off to St. Brown, who's a wide receiver, runs out. Gibbs runs parallel to him, only wider. St. Brown passes it out, and Gibbs takes it into the end zone. Like, when you're within 5 yards of the end zone, maybe even 10, like, that's a fantastic, almost indefensible play. Like, how else are you going to, because it's a run play, it's a run pass option as well. So you could, if everything floats to the right anyways, you could just not hand it off to St. Brown and dump it off to your wide receiver two or tight end out on the left. And those are the kinds of plays we came to understand as potentially being Ben Johnson. Maybe that's actually Dan Campbell thinking up those kinds of routes and influencing his offense in that way.
Yeah, because I think it was the O-line committee. I was listening to somebody, and they were talking about how, like, the day of play calling is a little bit overrated. Games are won and lost on Wednesday when they're planning it out. And so it's like, just because Campbell isn't calling the game doesn't necessarily mean he's not a integral architect into game planning on Wednesday.
It
doesn't mean that Ben Johnson's not either. Teaching. Like, part of the reason they had huge success is probably because they were working together, you know, and that's that's the whole thing. That's why you have a staff.
Exactly. Yeah. But there's also the sense in which, has there ever been a tutor, or where do tutors beat their teachers? Where do students beat their teachers, their tutors? Yeah. You know, like KOC has yet to beat McVay, right? Has he ever been able to beat McVay?
He hasn't, but he's beaten
who's
Shanahan.
The guy? McDermott? That's true. Yeah. McDermott, didn't he come from Reed? McDermott's been owned by Reed.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Ben Johnson comes from Dan Campbell. Like, they can be elite coaches in and of themselves, but this notion that, like, somehow every aspect of that team, like, there's a reason McVay is the head coach of the Rams. There's a reason Kyle Shanahan is head coach of the 49ers. Right. Dan Campbell's the head coach of the Lions. And so they might be birthing new elite head coaches, but that doesn't mean that they're the only reason they're elite head coaches. Like, part of what makes them elite is the ability to surround them with good, high caliber coaches, and then even raise those coaches up to the next level as well.
Right. And something I was going to say earlier is how discouraged, to me, it would be discouraging. I could also see it as like a positive thing, but imagine coming into your coaching room, to your building. And I know there's a lot more staff in a NFL building than just the coaching staff, but there would be a discouraging kind of lonely moment, I feel like, when you come in and 8 of your closest coworkers are just gone. Like,
yeah.
Especially as a leader, where it's like, not just your closest coworkers, but like people that you relied on in like passing on the culture and the vision and the energy of the building. And for Campbell to come back, and he's probably, I don't know. I imagine he probably went out and like poached some people from other teams, probably promoted a bunch of people. And so it's probably,
but
you
it's
know,
even
fairly seamless transition, but there would be a moment of just like, oh man, for me, this is overwhelming.
Oh,
I got to start all over again.
Yeah. But it's almost worse than that. It's not that they're just gone. They're now like top coaches of opposing teams.
Yeah,
in your division.
Yeah,
some of them in your division. And so now the people you used to problem solve with, now they know how you problem solve. They know some of your tendencies. And yeah, like I that's probably one of the biggest reason. Obviously, it's only week 3. There's a lot of football to play yet. But why I would say Dan Campbell is my leader in Coach of the Year,
yeah.
Depending on what KOC does with between the dance back and forth between Wentz and McCarthy and all that, like by the end of the season,
keeping
I might
the team
be
together.
Making a case for him again as well.
Right.
But I definitely think coming into the year, Dan Campbell has probably had the biggest potato on his plate to somehow try to navigate without dropping. And yeah, I don't know what metaphor I'm trying to use, but what you, so, we talk about the Lions, the Packers. What about our good old friend Sam Darnold out in Seattle? They beat the Saints 44-13. There was a moment there where I was like, oh no, I don't want them to score more than the Vikings. And then they didn't. And then I was fine. What are your I don't know that there's a lot to say. The Saints are a bad team. I think they could go 0-17. But just in terms of Darnold's, like, Darnold's looked pretty good out there in Seattle. Yeah. And yeah, what kind of reflections do you have?
Are they 3-0?
No,
Seattle?
They're 2-1.
2-1.
Yeah, they lost their opening game, if I remember correctly. That close, the Niners just barely beat them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm super happy for Darnold. They benched Darnold at the end of the game. I just see Drew Lock has 3 attempts.
Drew Lock came in for
I'm trying to remember. I think I was a little bit down on him coming into the season, that like, oh, he may be in for a rude awakening without O'Connell. I think I was kind of 50-50. Like, there was part of me that's like, no, I think Sam Darnold is a good player. I think I mean, clearly he's a good player. Because even it's not like Kevin O'Connell just has like this magic that he sprinkles on people and suddenly they play well. And then when they leave, that magic goes away. I think Kevin O'Connell's magic or whatever unlocks a player to the degree that they are good. Like even Josh Dobbs.
Oh, yeah.
Fizzles out, you know. The other,
and there are quarterbacks O'Connell does not want.
Right. Yeah. And so like the fact that Sam Darnold is having if he would have a bad year, if he would have a good year, I don't think either one would really surprise me. And I'm super happy for him. Like I think he did us a solid. I think the Vikings did him a solid. Making this about the Vikings again, I guess. But I for what the Vikings were trying to build with their salary cap and their rookie QB and stuff, I just don't think it made sense to keep him. And I think it made all the sense in the world for Sam Darnold to be like, hey, I can go get a big contract and take a team like the Seahawks to the playoffs. I hope that they do well. I think they have a fun team. I think JSN is incredible. It'll be interesting to see how far they go.
Yeah, I think the only truly challenging defense they've played so far, it was an ugly game with the Niners in week one. Obviously, week one games are a little bit whatever.
A little bit weird.
But the Steelers, I don't think the Steelers have, like on paper, they're supposed to have a really good defense, but they haven't looked particularly good
through the
first 3 weeks. Obviously, they held the Patriots. Yeah, week two was when they played the Steelers. And then obviously the Seahawks played the Saints. So I'm still skeptical as to how good the Seahawks will be.
Sure.
I agree with you. They have a fun team. And I also think Darnold could replicate last year's stats with the Seahawks potentially. It will be interesting to see. So they're going to play the Bucks next week. I believe. No.
No, the Eagles are playing the Bucks.
Where are the Seahawks? Oh, they play the Cardinals. Yeah, and then they play the Bucks. So it'll be interesting.
Cardinals Seahawks will be interesting. Yeah.
And they play. Yeah. Yeah. What about the Colts tracking the other
visitor,
former quarterback? I guess the other visitor. That's a better way to put it. He never played.
It is funny.
Daniel Jones. So here,
go for it.
Here's the thing. Through his first three games with the Colts, Daniel Jones has averaged slightly over 31 points a game. Now, you remember who played for the Colts, right? Did you know that no quarterback has ever done that for the Colts before?
That's incredible. In three games?
In a three-game stretch, or particularly, I don't have the graph in front of me. I saw it on Twitter someplace. I'm seeing if I can find it. Uh-huh. But I can't remember if it's like to start a season or if it's just in a three-game stretch. Yeah, but that stat, like, not, I think Peyton Manning,
yeah,
the highest he was ever was 30. He averaged 30 for a three game stretch. Again, I can't remember, start a season or just any three game stretch.
They, Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, Johnny Unitas way back in the day.
Yeah,
they haven't played. Like, the Dolphins looked really terrible those first 2 weeks, and the Titans, I think, aren't great.
Mm-hmm.
But they eked one out against the Broncos, which is super impressive. What are the Broncos at? Are the Broncos 1-2?
Broncos are 1-2, yeah.
I think I say it's impressive because the Broncos, I think, have a good defense. I don't know how their offense is shaping up this year.
You think so?
What? I think what?
You think the Broncos have a good defense?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they certainly have good players. And it's what's his face? Is there? I'm doing some research.
You're talking about the Surtain?
Yes. I mean, he was the defensive player of the year last year.
Yeah.
Right. I guess they don't have a star coordinator. I was thinking that they had a name, household name coordinator, but Vance Joseph, I've never heard of him.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're
putting up fights, certainly. The Broncos.
Yeah, they are. They're putting up fights. They're kind of, through three games, they're kind of middle of the pack as far as holding points down. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they do. I do think, like, that's the one thing that I thought about with the Colts is, so So who do they play this week? The Colts play the Rams. And I think this will be a really telling game because it's probably the best defense that they've had to play against so far.
Yeah, for sure.
So I just want to point out that my hot take, I can't remember if we actually said it because we had floated doing like a hot takes episode and then we decided just to do a review around the league. And I don't remember, I haven't checked if it replayed the episode, but the second episode after week one, reflecting on the rest of the league and particularly reflecting on that Bills Ravens game to open the season, my reflection after watching that is that both Bills and Ravens are going to miss, like neither of them are going to make the Super Bowl. Watching the Bills, I think they very well, let me double check. I think I have them in the final four. Yeah. They're pretty good. The Ravens, they just don't look that good. And the thing that stood out to me about that Bills Ravens game is the main issues that ended up being their Achilles heel last year were still their main issues. And for the Bills, that's their defense that, you know, the Bills gave up a lot of points last year. Now, interestingly, they've actually played fairly good defense in the 2 weeks since then. The Baltimore Ravens have proven to have probably a weaker defense. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing that I think the Ravens' Achilles heel is their ball security. They crucial catches last year, missed catches, cost them literally their season as Mark Andrews dropped his ball. But then even some other fumbles. The Ravens, yeah. And now this year, it's from Derrick Henry, which he's fumbled in every single game of the season so far, 3 for 3. And that is so abnormal for him. I don't think that's going to continue throughout the whole season that he has 17 fumbles. But it's just kind of a microcosm of the fact that these two teams still have, like the Eagles, when I look at the Eagles, or even the Rams, I think they have the pieces there. Mm-hmm. They're just playing sloppy right now. Like they're playing like you could get them. Whereas I'm not convinced the Bills and the Ravens fixed with proper personnel or proper pieces or training or whatever. Like, I don't know if they fixed the issues that cost them their seasons last year. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
Yeah. The Ravens certainly, in some ways, the Ravens have the feeling of coming into this year like they didn't do anything. They're still good. They're still formidable, but like, as far as like improving, how did you improve? There's a certain complacency there. And I think it's exposed by, John Harbaugh talking about kind of being defensive about the idea that they're Super Bowl or bust. And I think anytime a team is like, no, we're not Super Bowl or bust, it's like, okay. I mean, yeah,
I said that last year about the Lions. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like...
And some Lions fans were kind of defensive of that, and then they got bounced one time in the first time in the playoffs.
It kind of makes sense, I guess, for fans to be defensive, because it's like, my season's not a waste if my team doesn't go to the Super Bowl. I don't think that about the Vikings.
Sure,
But there is a certain mentality of like, if as a player you're not thinking Super Bowl or bust sometime within my career, why am I playing? That's the thing with Cousins, is like, I think Cousins legitimately wanted to win a Super Bowl. I think he wanted to give his family like long term wealth more, which is fine. Yeah. You know, I maybe have some of my disagreements in how I would approach life with all of these people. And so that's a fine approach of Cousins.
That's a maybe.
So I'm not going to get into an argument with Cousins about how he's dealing with his finances, but there is like this thing of like, as a football team, why would I want to pay a player millions of dollars if they're not like dead set on getting a Super Bowl? Like, and I mean, if we want to dive into the philosophy of this, then it's like, I mean, that's probably part of why it's difficult for Christians to be the best at anything, because oftentimes to be the best at anything, it has to be all consuming. And it's very
it
difficult
has to be the
to
most
be...
important thing to you.
Yeah. Yeah. And in order, I'm not saying it's impossible, but it is a very difficult thread to needle to be obsessed with a goal and faithful to all of your other relationships. I'm not going to say it's impossible. I just think it's a very difficult thread to needle. Anyways, all that to say, I think if a coach is saying it's not Super Bowl or bust when you are in your Super Bowl window, like Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, they've been here for a couple of years. You could have gone to any of these recent Super Bowls. And the idea that you're getting towards the end of Henry's career, you're getting towards the mid-tier of Jackson's career. I mean, Harbaugh's been in the league for like...
Do you feel...
Go for it. Sorry.
Yeah, well, I guess thinking from Harbaugh's vantage point, do you feel like the question is disrespectful? He's won a Super Bowl. As long as he's head coach and functioning the team, this team has a chance at a Super Bowl. Like, is that kind of his framework? Like, I agree. It feels short-sighted and even like, what's going on here if you don't recognize the window you're in and like doing whatever you can to try to get another one here. But I guess is that some of where his defensiveness is coming from? Like he's an elite head coach.
Yeah.
He's done it. He's done more than what even his own brother has done in the NFL.
I mean, maybe. Like for some personalities, having that pressure, I think, you know, for someone like Tom Brady, it was Super Bowl or bust the day after his Super Bowl win. I think he thrives under that sort of pressure. Even someone like Jalen Hurts a little bit, who has a little bit of a similar personality to Brady, where it's just like, I'm a little bit of a robot. I thrive under pressure. But then... You know, I could
there's
see
that
if,
sense you get.
Yeah.
You get that sense from them. Like they're going to show you every new year that they can do it.
Whereas other people might not. Like I don't necessarily thrive under pressure, under that kind of pressure, I guess. Like where it's like, if you mess up in this one instance, everything goes to waste. I'm more statistically more likely to mess up. Now if I'm pressured in the sense that I have something coming up and I have many opportunities to achieve the thing that's coming up, that kind of pressure can be helpful, where it's like I have like 10 tries at it and you know, I don't know if my illustration is working. Like there's different people thrive under different kinds of pressure. And so maybe he's trying to alleviate, maybe he just knows himself and his team that like they don't need this sort of back talk where it's like, oh, we got to win a Super Bowl. It's like, no, keep doing your thing. It's sort of that thing of like the repetition. You know, we talk about it at our coffee shop where it's like, go slow to go fast, where it's like in order to make this drink, I need the new people to slow way down and get all of their mechanics, all of their muscle memory down pat. Mm-hmm. And then as that muscle memory becomes second nature, then you'll just naturally become faster. Maybe he's doing something similar where it's like, I don't need my players thinking it's Super Bowl or bust. I just need them working on their mechanics, on their throwing, on their mental processing, on the plays. And as all of that comes together, I'm so confident in our play calling and in our strategizing and in our talents that we will make a Super Bowl run. I just think it seems like it would have the potential to kind of cut the wind under, you know, out from it, where it's just like, oh, coach doesn't think Super Bowl's, you know, I don't know. I'm not a player.
Yeah.
I'm not a coach.
I do wonder seeing some of Henry's reactions to his fumble and stuff, like maybe that is part of things going on. Like one of the big, like Henry is an elite first ballot Hall of Famer running back, and seems like maybe he needs to get out of his head a little bit, like just move on to the next play that you can control. They also fielded some stuff like that around Mark Andrews and the fact that until this last game, until Monday night, he hadn't been given the ball much in the first 2 weeks. And so was there some sort of I forget how it was phrased, question, and Lamar Jackson was like, Mark always starts slow, like starts slow, doesn't get the ball a lot, and then eventually we start getting him the ball towards the end of the season. So maybe as a whole, they're a little bit defensive as a team, and maybe I'm counting them out. Like, they're probably going to do well, probably going to come back in and have a good rest of the season. They've certainly started with a fairly intense schedule, and they've had some close losses. And so maybe they are better than I'm giving them credit for. I do look both at the Ravens and the Bills and wonder, like, did they actually solve the things that kept them out of the Super Bowl last year? And
the thing,
not sure.
The thing I was going to say about the Bills, I saw someone post on Twitter that, like, the AFC has quarterbacks, the NFC has teams. Which I thought was, and they, you know, I think they were making the point that the NFC was going to win the Super Bowl. And I think that that's probably true. Like, unless it's the Chargers, I don't think the Bills can't win a Super Bowl. If I was a betting man, if I was putting money down on it, I think that Josh Allen can put this team, on his back and get to the Super Bowl. I don't know that, like, Josh Allen could single-handedly beat, like, the Eagles or the Lions or the Rams.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah.
The Chargers, I think, are a lot more well-rounded. I don't know how much I believe in them yet. Like, I just have to see them play it out.
Yeah, I agree. And obviously, like, as we look at these first 3 weeks, it sure seems like the Chiefs have been a fairly non-factor in terms of competitiveness. Yeah. Now, they did beat the Giants 22-9. We're a little bit like, who wouldn't beat the Giants 22-9? Obviously, the Cowboys played them low. But I also think, and just to kind of point this out, we didn't touch on the Bears game at all. I'm not ready. I think it was a fantastic game, a get-right game for Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams. But the Cowboys have a horrible pass defense. Like, everybody just needs to know that. Like, that's why Russ was able to throw 450 yards. That's why Williams was able to put up, if the Vikings had not blown the Cowboys out on big, like, I think, again, going back, like, I think it said more about the Eagles opening than it did about the Cowboys, the fact that that game was close. And some of that may have had to do with Jalen Carter not being in the game. Chiefs beat the Giants. Russ looked awful. How did he look so good the week before? Because it was the Cowboys. I just don't think the Cowboys have a good pass defense. But the Chiefs do have Rashee Rice coming back in the middle of the season. So, like, maybe we're counting them out too early. They have the capacity to come back in and play championship caliber football. I'm not going to discredit that. They're just not really on my radar right now to take them seriously based on the fact that they're not winning. Just like the Eagles, like, their games would kind of say the same thing had they actually lost to the Cowboys. The Cowboys had several chances to take that game, or the Chiefs game with them was pretty close, but then the Rams were set to win it in a walk-off fashion. And so if the Eagles are sitting 1-2, I'd be like, like, let's see how the season plays out and take them seriously. Instead, the Eagles are looking like the new Chiefs in getting these wins, these wins in ugly fashion. And that's a reason for me to, like, sit up and be, not only the fact that the Eagles didn't look that terribly clean until about week 11 last year.
Yeah.
In the same way, the fact that they're looking ugly but winning, and they've been there. They have the personnel to do that. It's a matter of cleaning things up. I would keep them on the radar, but I don't know. The Chiefs are definitely kind of quickly sliding to kind of a, we'll see what happens. There were definitely years where the Patriots weren't much of a factor in the Tom Brady era as well. And so Mahomes has had historic performances with the team. Mahomes and Reed, they still would be on a historic dynasty there's going to be lulls in the middle of that, and this year might be one of them. Well, we are. That was a lengthy kind of recap as we rehashed things and got lost in our various threads. In the next episode, we're going to pick week four winners and losers.
All right,
and we're going to reveal. We did something different. A lot of people will give their Super Bowl picks before the season even starts. We just didn't really even have that planned. But then there's also this aspect of like, what if we were to wait a few weeks, see how some things play, and then make our picks, and then say we don't get mea culpas at Thanksgiving or whatever the typical thing is to do. I guess maybe we could at Christmas or something.
Well, maybe by the time we actually know the playoff teams, we can make another prediction.
Yeah, which ones are going to go deeper. So we're going to reveal our Super Bowl picks in the next episode. If you aren't already subscribed, go ahead, like and subscribe it. This is a podcast where we are two brothers who love to talk about football. And yes, we do want to see the Vikings win a Super Bowl before we die. But I think our identity, Christopher, correct me if I'm wrong, I think we want to see the Vikings win multiple Super Bowls before
yeah,
we
that's
die.
Right.
That's why
take
we're
that
not
score
just,
north.
We're not just jumping off of McCarthy right now. We want to see them develop a meaningful quarterback and franchise for years to come.
Yes, let's do it.